Welcome to the Not The Mog podcast. It's been a while, Nick.
It has.
It's been a very interesting few weeks and months.
It's been brilliant. I have to say, even the campaign team were surprised and delighted by the results, Simon. 11 councillors in North East Somerset and more votes than the Tories, and twice as many almost than Labour. We, Liberal Democrats, I am the challenger to Mogg.
Absolutely. And Jacob Rees-Mogg now has a Liberal Democrat councillor.
I think that's terrific. It's so funny. I spent a lot of time in East and West Harptree, and there's a lot of enthusiasm for Dave Wood. He's going to be a great councillor.
Fantastic. One of the big changes with having a new Liberal Democrat council was the introduction of cabinet members for the climate emergency. And one of the key issues around climate change and the climate emergency for us locally is Bristol Airport and the expansion of Bristol Airport. Nick, you've got a good head of steam up challenging the expansion of Bristol Airport. Do we not think that that's a good thing for regional growth and for our economy?
Well, I find it astonishing that we're even considering Bristol Airport expansion, or any airport expansion. I know there's a judicial review going on for the Stansted Airport expansion at the moment. Government officials are calling into question the third runway at Heathrow. And this is all because we've all become more aware of the fact that aircraft emissions are colossal. The Climate Change Committee said that it's likely that aircraft emissions is likely to be the sector with the largest emissions by 2035. Why are we even thinking about airport expansion?
But I get that. But how do airports make money? Where do they get their funds from? Because clearly we buy our tickets for planes, that goes to the operator.
Yes.
So where does the money for airports come from?
I think that's a great question, and I have to say when I found this out, I was really startled. There are three sources of income at the airport. One is takeoff and landing fees. That doesn't really make them much money because it covers the costs of running the ground operation. Retail franchises, which obviously are very lucrative and do well. But the big one is car parking. They make heaps of money from car parking. In Bristol Airport's case, there is no competition. They are the only ones allowed to do car parking. And they have no real incentive to reduce the number of cars parking nearby. And their biggest take of land, of greenbelt land, of land where there is diversity of wildlife, is of the car parks, multi-storey car parks.
Wow. So not only do you have the environmental impact then of planes taking off, landing, but then the multitude of cars travelling around the area, getting there, parking up and sitting idle for however long that is. Wow. I'd never quite clocked that, but it all makes sense.
It is astonishing. Well, what's interesting, though, a lot of people will say, surely it's better people drive to Bristol than drive to Heathrow. But if there's some modelling being done on this by the Parish Council Airports Association, if you take the car journeys that you might save, the emissions coming out of cars, and then compare that to the likely increase in flights anticipated by Bristol Airport from 8 million passengers a year to 12 million passengers a year, the savings, about 50 million tonnes of carbon a year, are dwarfed by the 570 extra million tonnes of carbon emitted by aviation in a same period. That's a non-argument, quite frankly.
Wow. So the expansion of Bristol Airport is a very live issue. An application has been lodged. Can you say a little bit about what the key parts of the application are?
They currently got permission for 10 million passengers a year. They're running at about 8, and they want to expand to 12, but with a long-term plan of going to 20 million passengers a year. So again, they're going to expand and make prettier the ground facilities.
Right.
But the big thing is a multi-story car park with 2,000 spaces, enhancement to the road system, improvements to the A38, and there's again there is more. There's an extension to the Silver Zone car park, which, if you know it, is slightly further away for 2,700 spaces. One of the interesting things about the car park is that they've been accused of not taking account of wildlife, and there are horseshoe bats near the Silver Zone car park. So they said, well, to deal with that, they'll create a bat corridor by digging up a whole raft of trees nearby so that the bats can soar through. So with one fell swoop, you are ruining the habitat and ruining the habitat.
The current capacity is 10 million passengers, but they're not reaching that capacity.
No, not yet. They want to go to 12 immediately, but as I say, that the long-term plan, that the presentation that I received last year with other councillors for the Lib Dem group, was the long-term plan for 20 million passengers a year.
Wow. But does that suggest that there isn't a demand?
Well, that's very interesting because economists are now saying that people are already voting, realizing the extent to which aviation impacts greenhouse gas emissions and the climate generally. People are already going, I'm going to cut back. Businesses, which only represent about 15% of the flights out of Bristol Airport, are already reducing. They're doing more video conferencing. I know that our Lib Dem MEPs are all travelling to Brussels by train, although that takes a long time. And so they're committed to reducing their emissions. So, well, yes, there are lots of things going on there.
Yeah, and I suppose the other thing around airports, and it's clearly an issue at every airport, is nighttime flying, and whether this new application for Bristol Airport includes night flying.
Yes, they've always been allowed to fly overnight. So they were allowed 4,000 hours per year, but those hours are distributed unevenly. So during the winter, where the impact both of noise and greenhouse gas emissions apparently is less, but particularly noise, they get more hours, and in the summer less, but they don't use all the hours in the winter. And therefore, they don't use the full 4,000. So they want to distribute those hours how they see fit, which means during the summer you will have more nighttime flying, and as a result of which you get a lot more noise. So even as far away as Keynsham, you get what's called a noise episode where a plane takes off and you can hear it from about a mile away. And then as it passes a mile further on from you, you can start hearing the next one with the number of flights. Now, with Heathrow, you get that all the time, but that's a new thing for the people of Keynsham.
Absolutely. And as someone who used to live in the flight path of Heathrow, that's not something you want to introduce
No, because in the
in
summer, the windows are open, double, triple
absolutely.
glazing, whatever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Nick, my question for you as our prospective parliamentary candidate, what are you doing about this?
Very good question. Well, I put in an objection to the planning application back in January before I got really worked up about it. Because it seemed to me that it was important to register my objection to this. About 2,000 people so far
Wow.
have put in an objection. And clearly, they're not just people in North Somerset where the application has been registered. They're all across the piece,
Yeah.
because people are affected, everywhere. But I've also got involved with the Parish Council Airport Association, and joined the Stop Bristol Airport Expansion Group in order to campaign more vociferously against this. And it's interesting, the Parish Council Airports Association, parish councils you associate with being quite twee and local and parochial,
Yeah.
they are very well organised on this. They've written some very good critiques of both the climate and the economic justifications for this. I'm really impressed.
Fantastic.
I think if they expanded to 12, their argument would be that they could attract more airlines into the area, more flights, more slots, bigger aircraft, and therefore it would be more viable. I mean, I would suggest that it'd be more viable because they'd be selling more car parking spaces, and therefore the Ontario Teachers' Pension Fund would be very happy, or there's a lobby against that now. I am not saying, like, unlike Flight Free 2020, I don't know if you've heard of that campaign group that are trying to
No.
get people to sign up to a pledge of not flying anymore. That's not me. I want international sport to carry on. I want people to carry on exploring. My brother lives in the States. I like to see him every few years. So I'm not about to start campaigning against flying. But I do think we all ought to be more aware that those people who do frequent flying, who tend to be much wealthier, ought to be paying more for their flights through an airport levy. So I think there are ways of dealing with this without penalising the ordinary person who goes away once a year.
It's getting the balance right. Fantastic. So, in terms of, are there things that people can do to support the Stop Bristol expansion?
Great question. They can log on to the North Somerset planning portal at north n-somerset.gov.uk and search for the Bristol Airport expansion planning application. Because the planning committee meeting has been delayed until early July, there is still time to put in an objection.
Fantastic. So, if you do not support the Bristol Airport expansion, get on that portal and make your feelings known.
And people can always check out my website for more details about that link and the planning reference.
Fantastic. And I think we're going to put a link to your website at the bottom of the link on wherever we put the
That would be brilliant. That would be really
podcast.
helpful. Thank you, Simon.
Brilliant. Cheers, Nick.
Cheers.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, hit the subscribe button and tune in for some more.